Matthew chapter 6 in our Bibles. We're going to be looking at verses 16 to 18. And the title of the message is, What Happened to Fasting? What happened to fasting? We're going through a series of sermons I've titled The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. And that's not my sermon. That's Jesus' sermon. It's found in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 in your Bibles. And yes, he gives a sermon. He actually lays out what he wants Christians, his disciples, to be doing and living. Principles that we are to live by. Not another law of the Old Testament, not another 613 laws. No, these are principles that actually come forth in the Christian life. Legacy, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, when we are changed by God, when we go from death to life, when we become a new creation in Christ Jesus, old thing passing away, we have new desires. We have desires to come to church. We have desires to read our Bibles. We have desires to draw close to God. We have desires to stop doing what is wrong and desires to start doing what is right. Yes, we're still pulled in the wrong direction. There's something in us pulling us to the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. And Jesus affirms these truths and these desires here in the Sermon on the Mount. As we read these truths, they ring true in the Christian's heart and mind and ears. As you hear these truths, you hear the scripture come forth, you say, that's me. I need that. I want that. I need to move forward in it. But what happened to fasting? Where did it go? Heard of a man walking along a California beach, was fasting that day, and he was in deep prayer. And all of a sudden, he said out loud, Lord, grant me one wish. And suddenly, the sky, clouds above his head opened up, and a booming voice, the Lord said, because you have tried to be faithful to me in all ways, are fasting and praying, I will grant you one wish. True story. Just kidding. The man said, build a bridge to Hawaii so I can drive over it anytime I want to. What Californian doesn't want that? He says, build a bridge to Hawaii, Lord, please. The Lord said, your request is very materialistic. Think of the logistics of that kind of understanding. The supports required to reach the bottom of the Pacific Ocean and the concrete and the steel it would take to do that. He says, I can do it, but it's hard for me to justify your desire for worldly things. Take a little more time and think of another thing you would want or wish that would honor and glorify me. The man says, okay, and he thought about it for a long time as he's walking, fasting, praying. Finally, he said, Lord, I wish that I could understand women. They are the most complex, amazing beings on the earth. I'm not smart enough to understand them. I want to know how they feel inside, what they are thinking when they give me the silent treatment and when they cry and what they mean when they say nothing. You ask him what they want, he says, they say nothing. What does that mean? How can I make a woman truly happy, he asks. After a few minutes, God says, you want two or four lanes for that bridge. It's just a joke. Come on, people. Don't stone me, please. Oh, yes. Fasting and praying. What happened to fasting and praying? What happened to fasting? I've been thinking about this quite a bit because it is interesting. It almost seems like an ancient art that we have lost in our society. And we'll examine that a little bit closer. But I was trying to look up first kind of the surface reasons why people would fast even in our society. And lifehack.com gave 10 reasons why fasting is actually beneficial to the body or beneficial for life. It says, number one, fasting can help with weight loss. Number two, fasting improves insulin sensitivity, that it can actually build, insulin becomes more effective in telling cells to take up glucose from blood. Interesting. Number three, fasting speeds up the metabolism. Number four, fasting promotes longevity of life. Five, fasting improves hunger. Number six, fasting improves your eating patterns. Seven, fasting improves your brain functionality. Number eight, fasting improves your immune system. Number nine, fasting contributes to self-enlightenment, as some look at it as meditation or a time of silence and reflection. And of course, we look at it as an opportunity to pray and to focus on the Lord. But number 10, it even says fasting helps clear up skin and prevents acne. Interesting. So we see some surface benefits of fasting even for the human body and what it can do, cleaning us from the inside out, even physically. Interesting. But where did fasting go? And again, why does it sound like some ancient ritual that Christians used to do thousands of years ago? Why isn't it something that we are in a rhythm of doing now? A couple questions we'll answer today is, what is fasting? Why do we fast? What is the wrong way to fast? What's the right way to fast? And what are the true spiritual benefits of fasting? Jesus has talked about prayer. Do you remember the last 2 weeks? We talked about not praying to be seen, and then Jesus said, pray like this. He actually told us how to pray, and he gave us principles for our prayer lives, the way they're to look, and the way that we are actually to be praying and focusing on our God. Now he moves from praying there in the text, and he jumps right into fasting. The fasting is pushed right up against the ending of the Lord's Prayer, which I think it's very intriguing that it's coupled to the Lord's Prayer. And so we're going to read verses 16, 17, and 18 in the Word of God. Would you please stand for the reading of his Word? Again, we stand to bring honor to the Lord. We don't stand for my words. Please don't stand for my words. Please stand for the words of the Lord, because we believe they are his words on paper now. He's speaking to us. Here's Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 16, here it is. He says, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but truly by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask now that you would speak to us through it. Lord, would you open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, help us to receive these truths and also to apply them to our lives, to live them out for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Fasting. This word fasting in the Greek is nestuo. It's found 20 times in the New Testament. In 15 different verses. And it means to abstain as a religious exercise from food or drink. To abstain completely. To stop eating food or stop drinking something. We know Jesus fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. And food and water. I wouldn't recommend that to anyone. Was that David Blaine that tried to do that or something? Was that like one of his magic tricks or something? Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that. But it is important for us to fast. Fasting is abstaining from anything in the world that may distract us or feed our flesh to pull us from the Lord. It's giving up something to focus on the Lord. And while majority of times in the Bible we see fasting has to do with food or with drink, it can also have to do with things that are taking up a lot of our time. Things that we're overwhelmed by, things that are distracting us constantly in life. We could fast from TV for a week. We could fast from the radio. We could fast from, I don't know, whatever it is that just, social media, you know, things that kind of just take over time. We can fast from lots of different things that may be consuming our lives that we need to get away from. But it is a time to get away from the things of the world, per se, and to focus on the things of the Lord. We see fasting as something coupled with prayer in the Bible. We don't see people just saying, I'm just not going to eat today. It's always coupled with prayer. I'm going to not eat today, and because I'm not eating, I'm going to pray more throughout that day. I'm going to seek God. We see fasting for times of deep prayer, seeking God for something specific, repentance, turning away from something and turning to the Lord with all of your heart, and fasting. and worship unto God. In the book of Acts, we see the early church fasting when they made big decisions. The church as a whole would go before the Lord in fasting and prayer and seek him about a big decision being made. We see Nehemiah in the Old Testament. He fasted and prayed when he heard about the destruction of Jerusalem. He was broken over it, and he mourned and fasted and prayed when he heard that the city had been destroyed. Crying out to God. In Esther, when the Jews learned of the decree that they would be killed, the text says there was great mourning, fasting, and prayer. Again, when mourning comes upon a people, or when a brokenness comes over a people, they fast and pray almost as a signal of complete surrender to God, saying, "We need you. We're going to sacrifice even our own eating today to turn to you completely and pray and seek your face because we need you." Daniel fasted when he sought the Lord in Daniel 9:3. We see in his prayers and supplications, he cried out to the Lord, fasting, and he put sackcloth on. This is like the onion or the potato bag. Put sackcloth on, and he threw ashes on his head. Why would you throw ashes on your head? It's a sign of becoming low to the ground. It is a place of humility. It is a state of repentance and mourning and brokenness before the Lord. It's an outward showing of what's happening inside to you. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12, the Lord declares this, "Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love." So again, fasting and prayer coupled with prayer seeking the Lord, he says, rend your heart, not your garments. You see, when the Jewish people would hear some terrible news, if someone died or something terrible happened, they would rent their clothes. They would take the top of their robe and they would rip it, almost as a sign of being torn inside, completely broken and overwhelmed inside. And God would say to his people, instead of rending your garments, rend your heart. Come to me in fasting and praying. Give up your life and focus on me. Give up everything. Focus on me. The point of fasting is to bring us close to God. That's the number one point of fasting. It's to put aside everything that would distract me from God, even food in that day, and focus it all on the Lord. Here's some helpful tips I found on fasting that I thought were interesting. Fasting should be limited to a set time, especially when fasting from food. Extended periods of time without eating can be harmful to the body. You don't want to go on a rant and say, "I'm going to pull off like 4 weeks right now fasting." Hold on. Are you prepared for that? What's the true motive in doing that? Is this to seek God for 4 weeks? You want to be careful. Maybe start a little bit at a time. If you plan on fasting for multiple days at a time, try one day and then do 2 days and then 3 days. But don't just jump off the deep end just because you want to be all in on fasting. That's not the point. It's not a race. We're drawing close to God. Fasting is not intended necessarily to strictly punish the flesh, but to redirect attention to God. We're not saying, "I'm going to absolutely destroy this flesh by killing you, by starving myself." Well, hold on. Again, there's a balance here. We want to starve the flesh in order to worship God, but we don't just want to do it just to punish our flesh because we're fed up with it. Fasting should not be considered a dieting method either. Again, it's the purpose of prayer. It's to seek the Lord. I was even looking up, who's that? Bob Harper, yes. He's Biggest Loser guy, right? The coach Bob. He was talking about this new dieting. Maybe you've heard it before. Oh, I forget the exact phrase of it, but it is some type of fasting where you fast, you know, a few hours each day, and it actually speeds up the metabolism, and he's seen this work with some of the clients. So, you know, it can be a dieting method, but that is not the primary reason we see in the Bible for fasting. It is to seek God in prayer. Anyone can fast, but some might not be able to fast from certain foods because of being a diabetic or whatever it may be. And so it's very important that you figure that out for your own life. But I want you to understand the principle as a whole. Again, this is not a mechanism nor some mechanical thing that we do. We are genuinely doing it to seek and draw close to our God, okay? So what does Jesus say? Let's break down what he says here. Take a look at the text. He says, when you fast, you see that in verse 16? Jesus says, when you fast, he is implying that this is something that you do. When you fast, he's assuming that this is something his disciples are already active in doing. And so, church, I want to encourage you that we should be a people who fast. Well, how often? I don't know. Well, when should I do it? I don't know. It's between you and the Lord. You figure it out. But we should be a people who fast. And maybe there are certain times in life when you need to fast more than others. Maybe there are certain times in life when there's a big decision coming up and you need to seek the Lord and fast. Maybe there are certain times when you just feel like your life is out of control. You can't control your flesh anymore. It's time to fast. We'll talk about that a little longer. But Jesus assumes this is something we are doing. It is not a command. The Bible never commands us that we have to fast, but Jesus is suggesting that we already are fasting. So again, there's a balance there. He says, when you fast, verse 16, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. So Jesus says, when you fast, we are not to be doing this to be seen by others. We're missing the whole point. This takes away from the whole point of fasting. We are to be fasting for the Lord and not people. It all comes down to the heart and the motive for why we are doing it. These Pharisees, they would actually look gloomy or act super weak and down because they wanted people to notice that they were fasting. They're all like, walking around. What's wrong? Are everything okay? I'm fasting. Oh, you're so holy. Wow. They were doing it to be seen. Hypocrites. They were acting. They wanted people to notice. And Jesus says they have their reward. The people applauded them. You get your reward right there. It's the praise of people. So you got to figure out why you're doing it. If people praise you, people praising you is not the problem. It's the motive of your heart. Why are you doing it? Is it for the praise of people or is it for the praise of God? Are you blessing the Lord with what you have been given? Are you blessing the Lord with what he's entrusted to you? Or is this for the glory of people? This is a scary thing and we have to be very careful with this because you can't always determine what people will do, whether they will praise you or not. But you can determine where your heart is at in the matter. And if God calls you to be a Joseph, who is king of Egypt, who stands before millions and people praise him because he helped them through the famine, then so be it. But the heart must be devoted to God. This is for his glory alone. We never want to go seeking the reward from people. This is why, church, if we seek the reward from people, we will get it. And that's the only reward you will get. But if you seek the reward from God, you may even get the reward of people, but you ultimately get the praise of God, the one that really matters. Romans chapter 2, verse 6 says this. Romans 2, 6. He says, he will render to each one according to his works, our God. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. You see, there's a difference there. Are we God-seeking or are we self-seeking? This society here in LA is very self-seeking. We encourage each other to dominate and lord over and push down. God says do the opposite. He says, seek me, lift me up. Humble yourself before the Lord. Seek me. Serve other people. Love other people. Submit yourself to other people. And God will bless you. Who are you seeking reward from? From God or from people? Jesus says when you fast, don't look for a reward from other people. He says, verse 17, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. Is it a bad thing to seek rewards? No. Paul ran a race to seek a reward, to win a reward. But what are we doing it for? Again, is it for the glory of people or the glory of our God? Jesus tells us when you fast, try not to show everyone you are fasting, okay? Put on oil on your face, anoint your face, wash it. He's not saying to actually do this. It's like, okay, go right down, got to get olive oil, got to write that. No. They're principles. It's not a law. They're principles. He's illustrating, don't try to show your fasting, instead, just show the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean if we go out with somebody and they're like, hey, you want to get some food? And you don't have to hide that you're fasting or what you're doing. It's okay. You can tell them you're fasting. But again, you know, is it, hey, come on, let's go get some lunch, you know? And it's like, oh no, I'm fasting. Are you fasting? Oh, because I am. You know, it's like, what are we doing? But it is okay. Hey, you want to go out to lunch today? Oh, you know what? I'll get a juice today. I'm fasting, but I'll just get something to drink, and that'll be it. You know, if that's okay. Yeah, come on out. Okay, cool. Would I need to make a big deal out of it? This is for the Lord. Okay. We don't need to announce that we're super holy. God knows if you're super holy or not. You can fool people. That's easy. You can fool me. But no one can fool God. No one. No one will ever fool him. We need to make sure the heart is right when we do anything for the Lord. That's what it comes down to in eternity. Does he expose all of our outward works in eternity and say, let's see what you did on the outward? No, I believe in eternity. He says, let's see what you did on the inward. Let's see the heart. Let's see where you're at. Verse 18 says, your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We see this phrase again from Jesus. I want to ask you, who are you seeking a reward from? This is what it comes down to. If you want to write that down in your notes, I know I've said it a couple times, but I want you to get it. Ask yourself this question through life and everything you do. Who are you seeking a reward from? Now, again, I want to clarify. Does this mean it's bad to receive rewards from people? No, that's not what I'm saying. What he's saying is that we are to look for rewards from God and God alone. And if that brings forth rewards on the earth, so be it. That's great. That's fine. But where is the direction of our hearts and minds? We are made to bring God glory. We were made to seek his reward and his reward alone. Reward from people or from God. This can ensnare and trap us in life very quickly. It's very easy to get trapped by the approval of people, wanting their approval. We live in a performance-based society. You learn this from the day you step into school. And of course, it's good to work hard and it's good to receive rewards. That's perfectly fine. But I'm telling you, it feeds the ego very quickly and the pride, especially when we're receiving all the rewards. And then before you know it, you start thinking that you're great. You start thinking you're amazing. Look at how amazing and great I am. And you start forgetting that God is the one who has entrusted to you those gifts, abilities, and talents, and work ethic. Where did you get all of that? Well, I developed it in myself. I don't think so. Isn't it interesting, all of the influences and all the things that come to us in life, how in the world do we get all of them? God is the one who is over all things, and we want to seek his reward above all things, no matter what we are doing in life. Legacy, if we could be this kind of people, I'm telling you, you would change LA. If we were a people who sought just for the honor and the approval of God alone in all that we do, you would work at an excellent level. You would perform at the highest level because you're working for him. You would treat people differently. You would serve people differently. Everything would be different in your entire life. Your marriage, your family, your workplace, all that you do And he would bring forth that genuine person that you desire to be because you seek his reward alone and not the approval of people. Here's some scriptures to back up these truths. Proverbs 29:25. If you want to write it down, Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Hebrews 13:6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He can do nothing compared to what God can do. Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Did you see that differentiation there? If we seek the approval of man, we can't be a servant of Christ. If we are a servant of Christ, we will not seek the approval of men and women. That does not mean that we are not going to be nice and kind and want to win over people. Don't misunderstand me. You're like, I'm going to be a jerk to everybody then because I don't need to win their approval. I got God's approval. No, you're losing in both areas, friend. When we seek the approval of God, we will actually be kind and patient and bless others and serve others. Who wants to be the greatest in the kingdom? Remember the disciples were fighting over it? I'm going to be the greatest. No, I'm going to be the greatest. No, Peter, you're an idiot. I'm going to be the greatest. Jesus said, boys, are you fighting over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? No, Lord, no. Well, I heard you. If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he said, become a servant and actually use the word doulos, slave of all. Slave of all? What? Why do we call him master? Why do we call him Lord? We are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. We follow after our master and we serve and lay down our lives. Notice what Jesus did. Did he not set the example for us and became the slave to all? He washed his disciples' feet. He died for the sins of his people. He was the servant of all. That is looking for the reward of God and not pleasing men. I want to give you four principles that I think will help in closing. Can we do that? Four principles of fasting? Now that you understand the context of fasting, I want to give you four helpful principles. These you should definitely write down. Number one, fasting keeps us humble. Fasting keeps us humble. It reminds us of our dependence on the Lord. Notice, think it through with me. The moment that you start fasting, all of a sudden the next day, you know, you wake up and that meal, first meal comes and you're like, oh, I'm hungry. And this has happened to me before. My wife can testify. It's like I wake up the next day and I'm supposed to be fasting and I forget. And immediately I'm just walking in, pouring up a bowl of cereal. You know, I start eating. She's like, aren't you fasting today? And I'm like, ah. It's just instinct, you know, that killer instinct of desiring food, the human being, in such rhythms. But as soon as you say no to your body, all of a sudden what happens? You're like, oh, body doesn't like that. I didn't know that thing could talk down there. Stomach is taken off. And into the second meal, your body is screaming, huh? And then that mid-afternoon, you're just like, you're on fire. And you're just like, Your senses are heightened. The smell, you can smell a cookie from like a mile away. You're like, white chocolate macadamia nut. I mean, like you have it. The senses are heightened and you're screaming. But notice that it shows how weak and fragile we are as human beings. The eternal God that we worship needs no food nor water. He exists and will exist for all of eternity and needs nothing. We cannot go even a month without food or water or we will die. And your body starts to tell you that very quickly, even in one day of fasting. It shows us how humble and fragile we really are and should be. before the Lord God Almighty. We recognize that we are just dust of the earth. The Spirit of God breathed life into us. He gives life and he can take it away in any moment. We need to stop running around like we rule and reign over this place. He is our God and we are his people, and we love and serve those around us. Fasting keeps us humble. It shows us how broken we are very quickly and how grumpy people become when they don't eat. Isn't that funny? I discover this more in myself as time goes on. I just can't believe how grumpy and upset I can get if the food is not there. Sorry, babe. Confessions on the pulpit. Job chapter 5, verse 11, he says, Job says, that he sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Who likes the guy who boasts all the time and just thinks he's the baddest guy on the face of the earth? Who likes the person who doesn't like the person who has been lifted up and exalted to such a high degree, but is very humble in everything they do? That's a king we want to follow. That's Jesus. James chapter 4, verse 10 says this, church legacy, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. Bring yourself low to him. Fasting helps to do that. Point number two, fasting brings more time for prayer. Very practically, it brings more time for prayer. As we fast, we are not eating a meal, and so now we have time to pray. A day to focus on prayer instead of eating and thinking about ourselves and thinking about the Lord. It works very practically. We love to bless ourselves, huh? We love to take care of ourselves. It's just so funny how that works, man. I mean, it is amazing how a good meal can take you from being so angry at your day to just being like on cloud nine. Your favorite meal comes along, it's set before you like, thank you, God. You know, you're so happy. You know what I'm talking about. We get to remove those things that distract us and overtake us. And we get to just seek God all day about something that's going on in your life, something that's going on in your marriage, something that's going on in your business, something that's going on with friendships or relationships. Why don't we just set aside a couple meals and just say, you know what? Instead of eating, I'm just going to spend some time focusing on the Lord. And then watch this. When my body aches inside, I just take that as a signal that it's time to pray. Just a reminder, immediately, as soon as I ache inside, I say, okay, Lord, I want to focus back on you about that thing and just talk to you about a few more things. You see, it's a constant communion with the Lord during that day of fasting. Psalm 55:22, some of you need to hear this. Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Never. He does not let his people be shaken. Cast your burdens upon him. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body. You will live. Fasting kills the flesh, and it builds the Spirit in prayer. You see that? Your body longs for a lot of things, doesn't it? Analyze this with me, please. Your body longs and desires a lot of things, doesn't it? And it desires a lot of bad things, a lot of wicked things. It has all these desires. Have you ever noticed that about yourself? Why do you just desire to do wrong? Why do you desire to be mean? Why do you desire to sin? Why does that just come out very naturally? You know, in children you see that, in babies. You have to teach them right or wrong. You got to teach them to do right. They naturally do wrong. You don't have to teach them to destroy things. They just know how to do it. You don't have to teach them. The word no, they pick up faster than anything, huh? Why do they learn that so fast? The Bible tells us that we are born into sin, that we love sin first before we love God. We have to teach these little human beings what is right and what is wrong. We have to train them up in the way of the Lord. And I'm telling you, that still reigns in our adult bodies. We have desires to do what is wrong in our flesh. And so we tell our flesh no, and we build our spirit in prayer. And that is the way we overcome temptation. I like this illustration. I've told it quite a few times in the last few months, but I'll say it again. You have a dog in your life that is the flesh, and you have a dog in your life that is named the spirit. You have the flesh and the spirit, both these dogs, and really whichever one you feed the most is which one's going to win in a fight. And so if you feed the dog named the spirit, you feed him every day, you take care of him, you build him up, he will dominate the flesh when the time comes to fight. If you feed the flesh all day long and you give in to desires and you are constantly feeding it, then when the time comes to resist sin, to do what is right, you will be overtaken. So let me ask you, who do you feed, the flesh or the spirit in your life? We need to be feeding our spirit, constantly in prayer, putting aside the food to focus on God. Point number three, fasting reminds us to sacrifice. To sacrifice. As we give up personal comfort, it reminds us that we are called not to live listening and obeying our flesh. We are called to obey the Lord. Church, don't miss this. I think many times in this American dream culture, we are taught over and over that we should be comfortable all the time and have everything that we want when we want it. And we should never give up anything that we feel or desire or want. Have you ever felt that? That's the way that we live here in America, huh? I want everything now, and if it doesn't come to me right now, I'm going to be ticked off, okay? Why is that? But church, notice this. When we follow Christ, we are actually choosing to say no to all the fleshly things that we feel inside. We do not follow the desires of our flesh as the world does. As if people don't stop following their wicked desires every day. I want to explain this. It's very important. People really do follow after this day in and day out, and sometimes we never rebel away from our flesh, and we wonder why we have no control over ourselves. The Christian life calls us to give up the desires of the flesh, and America is telling you, follow everything that you feel, do anything that feels good inside. We're actually called to sacrifice. The Christian life is saying, I'm not going to listen to what my body and my mind tell me, I'm going to listen to God. You know, my body desires to sin and run from God all the time. Yes, and I bring it under discipline and I submit it unto God and I tell it I'm going to worship God and not myself. That's the difference. Hollywood is telling us that. The world is telling us that. Listen to your own heart. Listen to your mind. Do everything that you want. Do whatever feels inside. And that is so dangerous. Let me say one more thing. It may be a little shocking. I don't know if you've ever seen the Satanist Bible. It is the Book of the Law, written by Aleister Crowley. And the John 3:16 of the Satanist Bible, the John 3:16, the main scripture in that Bible is this, do what thou wilt, for that is the whole of the law. Or, translation, do whatever you want. Do whatever feels good. That is the law. If we can train our society to do whatever they want and whatever feels good inside, whatever they want to do, we will destroy each other. Think about it. If you did everything you wanted to do in your heart and mind, you know what you do? You destroy your family, you destroy your friendships, you destroy everything in this city. Don't listen to your heart. The Bible says it's deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Listen to God. Listen to what He tells you. I don't trust myself. I trust God. I can't trust myself. I'm going to ruin everything. I have to trust His word, what He tells me. And so when we fast, we are sacrificing what we want, a double-double, a Neapolitan shake. And I'm saying I'm going to give myself over to God. I'm saying no to myself today. You see that? Did Jesus talk about this? Yeah, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says this, anybody want to come after and follow me? Jesus said this, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Die to yourself daily and follow me. That's what it means to be a Christ follower. And point number four, lastly, fasting helps us to fight sin. It builds self-control and discipline. If you're struggling in an area of discipline and you want to build that, fast. Fast from something. Start putting that in order. Repetition, saying no to yourself all day long. It's a great repetition. It's hard. It really is. You're hungry again? No. You're hungry again? No. I said no. Didn't you hear me? Stop. Please, no. Keeps acting up over and over. You keep telling it no. It's a great discipline. Watch this. If you tell yourself no all day, do you think that the following day, when it comes time to be tempted by the flesh, you'll be able to say no? I think you will. I think you'll be strengthened in those areas. We need to exercise discipline in our lives. The Apostle Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 9:25. I'll close with this scripture. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box. He's talking about a boxer as one beating at the air. He says this, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul brings in the illustration of an athlete, one who exercises and disciplines themselves. Let's talk about the gym a little bit, huh? Is that hard or what? Treadmill, lifting weights, all that stuff. Oh, it's painful, it's hard, it doesn't feel good. So it's like a boxer, discipline, repetition, beating himself into submission, under control. We need this in our lives. This is a spiritual repetition. This is spiritual lifting. And I want to tell you, the more repetition you have, the stronger you're going to be. Should we fast food and not pray? Never. Should we pray and not fast? Often. Should we pray and fast? Yes, we definitely should sometimes in life. So I want to ask you, church, what happened to fasting? Are you ready to make it a regular discipline and something in your life? When should I do it, Pastor? I don't know. You figure it out. We announced it the first Monday of the month that we're going to fast as a church. You kind of figure that out for yourself, and I do too. But we need to find these rhythms in our lives. They shouldn't evaporate from the Christian church. Do you see how if another thing being applied to the Christian church today, how this would focus us on the Lord, get our eyes off ourselves, and start to build the church for His glory?